Allah will say, go and take those people who you find even with an atom's weight of iman, so that again they will be protected, and they will take out those people with an atom's weight of iman. And then Allah will say, the prophets have interceded, and the martyrs have interceded, and the truthful have interceded, and the believers have interceded. And now all is left is the intercession of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So Allah from his rahmah will take out a handful of people from the hellfire who had no good deeds. And these people, Allah will take them out from his rahmah. Subhanallah. And then paradise, my brothers and sisters, paradise. The place where there is no more pain, no more age, no more argumentation, no more useless talk. But the angels will come saying, salam, salam, peace, peace. Paradise, the place where the last man who will come to paradise, Allah will say to him, ask for everything that you want. So the man will ask. And Allah will say to him, ask more. And the man will ask more. And then Allah will say to him, you have everything you asked, and the world again like it twice over. This is the last person in paradise, what the last person in paradise will receive. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person's place in paradise, the size of a bow, you know a bow and arrow, the size of a bow is better than the world and all it contains. So the delights of paradise are numerous. The springs of wine, the rivers of honey and milk and wine, the trees where the fruits are easy to reach, the silken cushions, the golden bracelets, the silken embroidered garments, and you serving us, youths of perpetual freshness, serving us with goblets of gold and crystal, and the houris of paradise, the virgins, the women of paradise. How will they be? The Prophet described that if a tear from the houri fell into the oceans of the earth, the whole world will smell of perfume. That one of the jewels on the smallest of her crown is enough to light all that is between the heavens and the earth. And that a man's tent in paradise will be a hollow pearl 60 miles wide. His tent. And how about the mansions in paradise? And there will be a marketplace. There will be a marketplace in paradise. And this marketplace will be every Friday. And everybody will be on thrones. Some of thrones of musk, some on thrones of camphor, some on thrones of gold, some on thrones of silver, and some on thrones of light. But the one who is sitting on the throne of musk will not feel jealous of the one who is sitting on the thrones of light. And on that day, Allah will talk to every single one of us. Allah will talk to every single one of us on this Friday. And this Friday is every week in paradise. Allah will talk to us. He will remind us of our sins that we used to do. And we will say, Allah, haven't you forgiven us? But Allah will say that He was reminding us so that you will feel so happy to be here in paradise. And we will be able to look upon the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic narration, he said to his companions, do you have any doubt about seeing the sun? Do you have any doubt about seeing the moon when it is full in the sky? And they said, no, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, so the believers will gaze upon the face of Allah So the believers, and it will be the most beautiful thing. More beautiful than the mate of paradise. More beautiful than the food and the delights of paradise. The most beautiful and most beloved thing to the believer will be that they will be able to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the worst thing, more than the fires of hell, more than the torments of hell, the greatest punishment for the unbeliever is that they will not be able to look at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there will be a marketplace in paradise. That after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are sitting on this Friday, in the Friday in this place, Allah will send a perfumed rain. It will perfume us. And then He will open us to this marketplace. And in this place are things the eyes have never seen, the ears have never heard, and the heart cannot possibly conceive. And after this, we will return to our families. And our families will say, "Oh my husband, you left us beautiful. And you returned even more beautiful." And then they will say, "How can it not be like that, since we conversed and looked upon the face of our Lord?" And He will say that we left you beautiful, and we came back and we found you also more beautiful. And how long will this pleasure last? How long will this place last? Where there is everything your heart desires, everything your wish can conceive, every pleasure that you can imagine will be there in paradise. How long, my dear people, my dear brothers and sisters, how long will it be? A day? A week? A year? No. Forever and ever and ever and ever. And so I finish with one last saying taken from the authenticated narrations of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when all the people who are to be taken out of hellfire have been taken out of hellfire, and when all the people who are to enter paradise have been entered into paradise, then Allah will bring a goat, a black and white speckled goat, and Allah will say to the people of hellfire, "Do you know what this is?" Or it will be said, because Allah will not speak to them, it will be said to the people of hellfire, "Do you know what this is?" And the people of hellfire will strain their necks. And they will say, "Yes, Allah, it is death." And then Allah will call the people of paradise. And Allah will say, "O people of paradise, do you know what this is?" And the people of paradise will strain their necks. And they will say, "Yes, Allah, it is death." Then Allah will order this goat to be slaughtered, and there will be no more death. So the people of hellfire will become more and more miserable because of that, because they know that they will never die and they will face Allah's punishment forever. And the people of paradise will become more and more delighted because of it, because that they know that they will never die and they will always be tasting the delights of Allah's paradise. And brothers and sisters, I leave you with one final reminder. This final reminder is something that was said by the second rightly guided Khalif, Umar ibn al-Khattab, who said that if I was before Allah on the day of judgment, and it was said that all of mankind are going to paradise except one, Umar said, "I would be afraid that I would be the one who is not going to paradise." And if it was said that all of mankind are going to hell except one, I would hope that I would be the one who is not going to hell. So this is the condition of the mu'min, of the believer, of the one, the muhsin, the one who is on the highest level. Is not one, as some people claim, the one who is lost in the love of Allah. No, because this is only a path to error and misguidance. The believer always stands between the fear of Allah and the threat of His punishment, and the love of Allah and the hope of his reward. This is the example left for us by the best of all mankind. The best of all mankind, the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, my talk was a talk from Allah's book and from the message and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was not a talk of fairy tales and nice stories. This is the reality. This is the reality which Allah revealed. So brothers and sisters, cling to this reality. Cling to this truth. Bite it with your teeth and follow it, because the day of your death is soon. Not one of us has a guarantee to live beyond the end of this talk. Does anyone in this room today have a written promise from Allah that he will live to see the end of the day, to see the end of this talk? Does anyone have a promise from Allah to live till tomorrow, to live till next year? None of us have it, brothers and sisters. None of us have a promise from Allah to live another hour. We could be trapped in here and die tonight. So what have we done with our life? What have we done with our life to worship Allah, to seek the correct knowledge of Him, to follow the way of His last and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to fill our life with good deeds, seeking the pleasure of Allah alone? And if we haven't, all of us, we should make tawbah. We should make tawbah to Allah right now. To make tawbah to Allah right now, that we will return to Him, that we will follow His religion as He commanded us to. But brothers and sisters, your life is short. And how many people on the day of judgment will say, "Oh Allah, send me back. Send me back to earth. I will be righteous. I will live a righteous life. I will do good deeds." How many people would like to come back just for one day? For one day. And maybe today is your last day. Live every day as if that day was the day that Allah gave you to come back and live your life again. Although Allah will not give anyone, another chance. Death is the end of the matter. There is no coming back. There is no coming back after death. When you have met Allah and He has judged you and you have pleaded with Him, there is no coming back. It's finished. It's gone. So brothers and sisters, live tomorrow, live today, as if today is your day of reprieve. Today was your last day. Because maybe it is. Maybe it is.
JazakAllah Khair for that most enlightening talk, Brother Dean. Now it's question time.
So we have a question here. What is the purpose of our creation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told us that He created us and He created the jinn for no other reason except that we should worship Him. So brothers and sisters, we exist to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We exist to worship Him alone. This is the reason for our existence as human beings. So we must know and realize that we will be asked about this matter. Did we worship Allah? And did we worship Allah the way He wanted to be worshipped? Or did we worship Allah according to our desires, according to our minds, according to what we fancy? But how can you worship Allah the way you want to worship Him? No, you must worship Allah the way He wants to be worshipped. And the way He wants to be worshipped is the way He taught us in His last and final revelation, the Quran, as is explained by His last and final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the reason for which we exist. This is the purpose for which we have been created. So take care, brothers and sisters, to fulfill that purpose and to worship Allah with sincerity, seeking His pleasure alone, and to worship Him correctly according to the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.
Alhamdulillah, we have a question here. Where can we find these things that I mentioned? You said that I said that they were from authenticated sources. So where can we find them? Alhamdulillah, there is a very good book which is out in English. And this book is called The Mysteries of the Soul Revealed by someone called Mustafa Kanadi. Rahimullah, he's dead now. Himself. But he has written a very excellent book called The Mysteries of the Soul Revealed, where he has gone through all the matters pertaining to death. And he has separated the authentic sayings concerning death from the invented and the weak sayings and just the stories that go amongst the people. So he has separated between these things. So he has shown what is from the Sunnah, and what is from revelation, and what is from other than that. So I refer you, inshallah, to this book for an in-depth study of the matter of all these things pertaining to the realities of the soul after death. It's called again, The Mystery of the Soul Revealed by Sheikh Mustafa Kanadi. There's a question here. Is there any mentioning about hell or heaven in the Bible? Yes, there are some mentions of heaven and hell in the Bible. But the passages that mention them are extremely few and very sparse. I myself was brought up in a Roman Catholic monastery. So I am, used to be anyway, very familiar with the Bible. Indeed, one of the things that convinced me that the Qur'an was not the speech of man, that indeed the Qur'an was revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the description of paradise and hellfire and the day of judgment. Because a book that is from Allah should describe in detail these realities, because at the end of the day, it is these things, the day of judgment, the hellfire, the paradise, that is the ultimate concern of every single human being. So it is only befitting that a book that has been revealed from Allah should give us descriptions of these things. And the lack of these things is one of the things that made me turn away from the Bible and turn towards the Qur'an, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You see, we have a question here. We have a question here. If wine is prohibited in today's world, why is it available in abundance in the heavens? The same with gold and silver, etc. Isn't there something higher a human being should desire for? You see, a lot of people... Now please, if you take everything I said, what could be higher than to desire to look upon the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What could be higher than the angels coming to you and saying to you, salam, salam? What could be higher than being with the martyrs, with the righteous, with the truthful? What could be higher than being with the prophets of Allah? So that this paradise is a place of physical pleasure as well as spiritual pleasure. So do not take half of what I said and leave the other half. But Allah is calling mankind to that which He delights in. As for the wine of this world, the wine of this world is not like the wine of paradise. Allah described the wine of paradise as a special wine that does not intoxicate you. It doesn't leave you having a headache the next morning like the wine of this world. The wine of paradise is not a poison like the wine of this world. Because alcohol is poisonous. It is destructive to the human being. It is evil. Its intoxication causes division and destruction amongst mankind. So the wine of paradise is not like the wine of this world. And the pleasures of paradise are not like the pleasures of this world, because the pleasures of paradise are perfect, without any side effects, without any bad implications. And these things have been given to, these things have been placed in this world as a test. This world, this life is a test. This life is the test to see who will worship Allah, who will follow the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will follow the way of the Prophet, and who will follow their desires, who will go for the things of the world. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the world is a prison for the believer. The world is a prison for the believer, but it is the paradise.
On the claim of various chefs and godmen who sort of promised to help you cross the bridge, could you please comment on that? Is there anything like that in the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
My brothers and sisters, I do not claim to know everything in the Quran and the Sunnah. But I have done my best to research and look into the books of those scholars who have taken a lot of care to make sure that the knowledge that they transmit can be proven with proof to be from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we must understand that this religion is based on proof. This religion is based on proof. And proof is what Allah says, and what the Prophet says, and the way the companions of the Prophet understood. This is the religion of Islam. So knowledge is, Allah says, and the Prophet says, and the companions understood. This is the knowledge we find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praising, and Allah praising. Knowledge is not, as some people claim. Knowledge is not, as some people claim, through mystic experience, or through some sort of revelation that these people claim that they receive, other than the revelation given to Allah. Given by Allah to His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do they claim for themselves to be prophets? Did they receive revelation? Did they receive knowledge that was not given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That was not transmitted in the authentic narrations? Shall we accept the same of any man? No. Rather, we must be able to establish with proof what Allah said and what His Prophet said. So as for these claims of the people, that they will be able to answer the questions in the grave for their followers, and that they will be able to help them across the bridge on the Day of Judgment for their followers, who are not really in reality are their followers, but their worshippers, because they have made themselves gods to be worshipped besides Allah. Then from the knowledge that I know, and the authentic knowledge that I know, there is nothing at all from Allah's book, as explained by the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as acted upon and understood by the Sahaba, that substantiates or lends any weight to such a claim. So if you find someone saying this, run from him. If you find someone claiming this, run from him. Run from him to Allah's book. Run from him to the message, the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that has been authenticated. Because I warn you now of Allah's severe punishment. And what a great loss for those people who think that when they get to their grave, their sheikh or their teacher will come to answer them the questions. What a shock they will get when all they see is the two questioning angels. The two questioning angels. Oh, where is my sheikh? Where has he come? He will not be there. He will not be there. If he is, let him prove it from Allah's book and from the sayings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, no. That really all he wants is your worship, your money, your reverence. And Allah knows best. Perhaps the question isn't related to the topic, but as a Catholic, how do I know what the truth is? How can I be convinced? I know you would understand, since you are a Catholic before. What is the truth? MashaAllah. You see, this is a very, very big and long subject. But the truth is something which can be proven to be the truth. The truth is something which can be proven to be the truth. So how do we know where is the truth? This is, alhamdulillah, a great question. A question that deserves a lecture dedicated to answering it. A question that deserves a lot of time to the answer of it. But I would like to say something that maybe will help this person and others to understand. In one respect, we know the truth. We don't know the truth in the sense that we know all the details of it. We don't know the truth in the sense that we don't have to study, and we don't have to learn, and we don't have to read. But the essence of the truth we know. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, our Creator, when He created our father Adam, He took from the back of Adam all of Adam's descendants. And He made all of us testify and bear witness that He alone is the Rabb. He alone is the provider, the nourisher, the sustainer. And that He alone is worthy of worship. And all of us testify to this. So that anyone picking up the book of Allah, the Quran, and I recommend this person who asked this question to pick up the Quran and read for yourself and see for yourself and compare this book, the Quran, with the Bible. Compare what the Quran says about Allah, about the prophets, about the paradise, about the hellfire, to what the Bible says. And the Quran lays down a challenge. And it says to you that if this book was from anyone else than Allah, you will find within it many contradictions. Many contradictions. You see, because the nature of something that has been written by man is that it contradicts itself. The nature of a man-made book is that it contradicts itself. It either contradicts itself internally or it has a contradiction with external realities. So the Allah asks you in the Quran, find a contradiction and you will not be able to do it. But open the Bible and on page 1, verse 1, you have a contradiction. According to the Bible, it tells us that in the beginning God created the light and He called it day. And He created the darkness and He called it night. And the first day came. But according to the Bible, God does not create the sun until the third day. So how can we have night and day before we have the sun to produce the night and the day? This is a contradiction with what we know is established reality, then we have to be inclined to believe that this is something a man wrote, not something God revealed. But look to the Quran. You'll find whenever the Quran is talking about the natural world, the things that we find in our creation, it proves to be accurate, amazingly accurate. So much so that some of the West's top scientists, when they were shown the knowledge contained in the Quran concerning the natural world, they said that we find it impossible. It is impossible for anyone living 1,400 years ago to have this knowledge. And the only explanation we can find is that it must be a revelation from God or Allah. So for this matter and concerning this matter, I invite the questioner to get in touch with the brothers, the people in charge of this, and they will be able to give you a cassette. On this cassette you will find a talk given by someone called Gary Miller. And this talk is called The Amazing Quran. The Amazing Quran. Listen to this, and you will hear such convincing evidence, such proof, that you will realize that faith is not something you just blindly believe it. But faith, alhamdulillah, the true faith is something that is built upon evidence and correct understanding. So Allah, as I mentioned, He warns you in the Quran. He warns the people in the Quran. He mentions in His book that when the unbelievers are taken into the hellfire and the angels question them, didn't someone come to warn you? And what will they say? If only we had thought, if only we had used our reason, if only we had used our common sense, we wouldn't now be in the hellfire. So do not blindly believe something which is unbelievable without any proof. Rather, alhamdulillah, we find that with the religion of Islam, we have proof upon proof, upon proof, and upon proof. And we don't have the time, and we don't have the space tonight to go into them. So I ask this person to research, to find out, to get cassettes and to read books, and to find for yourself, and keep searching. And if you are sincere, then for sure Allah, He will guide you. If you want guidance, and you ask God for guidance with sincerity, He will guide you. So ask Allah, pray to God. Ask Him to guide you to the truth, and for sure, inshallah, He will guide you to that truth. What happens to the soul between death and the Day of Judgment? So we mentioned this already. The soul between death and the Day of Judgment is in a place called the Barzakh. Huh? This is sometimes translated as the grave. It's sometimes translated as the grave. But the reality is that this condition of the soul after death is not restricted to a grave in the sense as this is a place we dig in the ground and put our death. Because even if someone is burnt to ashes and scattered all over the four corners of the earth, that will not make them escape the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will not make them escape the questioning in the grave. Because Allah who created you is able to gather your soul and question your soul. So the place and the condition of your body is irrelevant to the fact of the matter of the questioning of the angels in your grave. When we say in Islam the grave, this means the condition of the soul after death. So we already described this in our talk. What happens to the soul after death?
And in the home where she lives, so there is a punishment. And those in the room are showing what is happening in their homes.
Okay, there's a question here. That those in the grave are shown what is happening in their homes, in the homes of those who are living. Is there any basis for this? Then again, I refer you to the book by Mustafa Kennedy, Mystery of the Souls Revealed, where he clearly shows that all such traditions relating to this and all such reports relating to this are not authentic. Are not authentic. So the claims that the people in the grave are shown what the living are doing in their homes, as far as I know, this does not have any authentic basis that can be traced back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.